Dana Carla Wills, Tammy Warrenoff, Tarina Nadura, Sam Alkoff, Tamari Astudio, John Hamilton, Robbie Karen, Honey Masood, and Adriana Contreras. Special thanks to Julie Crosby, Becca Staley, Dennis Moynihan, Miriam Barnard, Paul Powell, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nogueira, Hugh Graham, David Prude, and Dennis McCormick. Remember, wearing a mask is an act of love. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
Thank you, Amy. It is almost 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. This quick reminder, COVID vaccines are being given out. To find out more information in the state of New York, to find out if you qualify and where it might be available, the website to go to is COVID-19. That's COVID with the number 19, vaccine.health.ny.gov. COVID-19 vaccine.health.ny.gov. And to find out if you're eligible, there is a link on that page if you want to go right to that. Am I eligible with dashes between those words? COVID-19 vaccine.health.ny.gov. Be patient. There will be enough for everybody. Might take a little while, but we all have to stay healthy. And now it's time for the last playing of the off-the-wall Trump-era theme. I, for one, am going to miss this theme. It's the off-the-wall theme that we've been playing every day, every week that we've been on since the first of the Trump periods. And since there won't be a second one, it's going to be representative of the entire Trump regime. It's Off the Wall. Emmanuel here. Kyle over there.
Oh, yes. I'm yes.
Kind of stunned.
I'm here.
Stunned, huh?
Well, yeah. Just back to the old grind. But no, I'm glad I caught up with you. I thought maybe we could talk for a little bit.
Did you find my Patsy Cline CD? Because I've been looking for that all day.
No. That wasn't okay. What I was going to talk to you about.
All right, because that's, I thought, all right.
We should talk.
Yeah.
It's
the Patsy Cline story. It's the big one. All right. Yeah, I've been looking for it, but okay. No, tell me. Tell me what did you
want to... You've got to tell me more about what it looks like. But no. There's lots to get to. Nothing in particular. No. I wanted to talk.
This is our last show during Trump. Do you realize that? Well, unless the coup happens again and he retains power. But even if he does that, we're going to have a new theme, because it wouldn't be the first Trump regime. It would be the second one.
It's funny you should mention that. I think we should refrain from that kind of conversation when we talk.
Yeah, all right. I've been told that by many people in management as well. But let me just say, related to themes and things like that, I understand that the new theme is being selected tonight at the debrief after the show.
Well, and
that will have a new theme for the Biden era starting next week.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. No, I'll...
If we survive.
I'll clear space for it.
Because you realize if we're all going to die, it's going to be in the next 24 hours.
Oh, I just thought no, I walked you
he's
through that.
He's got, you know, his... And did you ever think about this? You know how the nuclear football thing, the briefcase, you know about that?
Yeah.
Every inauguration... You see, or if you're looking, you see the guy move from one part of the crowd to the other part of the crowd when the power shifts from previous president to new president. Well, Trump, because he's a jerk, an idiot, is going to be in Florida. This is not, by the way, a peaceful transfer of power. So don't kid yourselves into thinking. There's 25,000 troops in Washington, D.C. right now. We had a riot, a storming of the Capitol building last week, or 2 weeks ago. And Trump hasn't even said president-elect Biden. I don't think he even said those words. This is not a peaceful transfer by any stretch. But how is that going to work? How is the nuclear football going to be passed on when Trump is like four states down? They're going to have two nuclear footballs. That's the only solution I can think of. And that's a security risk.
Does he leave the building, maybe, and they leave the football when he goes south for the winter?
The football is always near the president. It has to be. So unless they've achieved warp speed, there's no way they can get that football to Biden the moment that he places his hand on whatever he places his hand on and takes the oath.
Yeah,
so...
Maybe they put it in a cab or something, but...
No cab is that fast. I'm sorry. I'm from New York. No cab is that fast.
Right, well, they achieved warp speed, I'll tell you, but they did not achieve it the way you think. We're over 400,000.
Don't remind me. Wait, before we get into that, the last moments of the theme that you'll never hear again. Thank you, theme. You served us well. We had some very dark days, and I think it was a dark-sounding theme. But it filled me with motivation, you know, and a bit of anger.
It was there. It was a reminder. That deep, deep reminder of inner strength, I think.
That we all have.
Yeah. As soon as you're over... And in the abyss, beyond that event horizon, it's clear. You have to survive.
And as we always must do every 4 years, thank you, Philip Glass, for continuing to compose pieces that we can devote our lives to. All right, so next week we'll have something different, again, assuming that we make it through the next 24 hours. Actually, okay, so it happens, what, at noon tomorrow? So it's really like 18 hours away, right?
Yeah, is there like a lounge that he's waiting in, or is
yeah, he's
Biden spending
ticketed,
the night?
Ticketed passengers, that's
like
where he's
sitting.
Like
a Holiday Inn or
like,
something?
Well, which one, Biden or Trump?
But, well, yeah, Biden.
Trump is inside the White House trashing it right now. That's what he's doing.
Right. But the flight out of the White House is tomorrow morning, right?
Yeah, he's planning some kind of like 21 gun salute, red
There's
carpet
red, yeah,
affair
red,
with all kinds of
I heard there was a red carpet.
Of salutes. I've got some salutes in mind, and
those
21 guns can definitely be used to enforce the transfer of power. I'm not sure that's what he had in mind. But can you imagine? He's going to try to upstage the inauguration. That's what he's going to try to do tomorrow. And he's inviting as many people as he possibly can. I'm not exactly sure where this is going on. Some kind of base, I think?
Yeah, at the base that President-elect Biden just flew into, Joint Base Andrews.
Yeah, the Joint Base. What does that mean, Joint Base?
It can be a complex of a fort or a base. It could be a couple different installations that are co-located that maybe become known as one larger thing instead of being a bunch of different facilities.
So
that
it's
are
not
nearby.
They're not calling it a joint. Okay, I thought military was being cool for once, but okay.
No, it's not that kind of joint.
All right. All right, it's 400,000. Yeah, what you meant by that was we have, and I can't believe it happened today, 400,000 Americans have died of COVID-19. And it was about a year ago we were on that train heading up to Schefferville in northern Canada. Not even northern Canada, to be honest. It's up there, but Canada goes so much further north. But an amazing train run by the Native community. We were hearing the first reports, maybe not the first reports, the second reports of COVID-19 in China, and how every time we turn on the radio, more people had died from it. And, of course, we were, you know, making light of it then, saying, okay, it's going to be 100 people, I'll bet, by the time we get home, and it was. I don't think even we thought it would reach something like this, but we didn't have access to the information that our leaders had. So it's particularly shameful that they didn't take it seriously. They continued not to take it seriously, even as it became apparent how many people were being affected adversely by this. And while I have great disdain for all the people who walk around without wearing masks or call the thing some kind of political hoax or somehow think that 400,000 people dying isn't a big deal, I can't blame them as much because they're following the leader. And that's what you do. You follow the leader. You take on the tone that your leader gives you. And if you believe Trump is your leader and he says something isn't real, you're more likely to believe it's not real. And while I think passionately that those people are wrong, I don't think they're evil. I think they're just naive, misled, and I hope we get them back, you know, so that we can all work together. But what a nightmare, you know? 400,000 people, and that's only in our country, but in this case, America is number one. Nobody else has come close to that. And it's a direct result, and there is no denying this, a direct result of the way we handled it. It's sickening. And I hope that there is some kind of accountability. I almost expect there to be none, but there has to be. You know, I think people are angry enough that we can't just let that go unremarked.
Yeah, a reevaluation, and I don't know, I've heard commission thrown around.
Oh,
kind of like
that'll show them.
Yeah, and it's always in reference to previous commissions a la 9/11 and so forth. But that's, I don't know, it's mostly something that the majority of us are going to have to contend with over time. And, yeah, I don't know. It, it could be something that, if there's a plan, if there's initiative and good ideas around it, there perhaps could be more change.
Well,
but I think the leadership of those agencies, like, why did CDC not test cruise ship passengers? Why, or contact trace as well?
Again, following the leader.
Airports, why weren't they temperature checking? And you know, a lot of those, like, details need to be implemented, mostly for the future, right? I think that's the real part. It's like looking back, but in hopes that in the future we wouldn't make the same mistakes so easily.
Well, again, we will have new leadership within the next day. I honestly think that Biden is taking this extremely seriously. I think we're going to see massive change on the order of fighting COVID. And that's why, you know, I'm trying to help some people get registered for the vaccine. I'm not going to be eligible for a while, neither are you. But these people are. And the website is, well, it's atrocious. It doesn't work. I mean, it basically you just keep getting no appointments. But the reason there are no appointments is because there's no vaccine. There's not enough being sent here. And I know there are people blaming Cuomo. The only thing you can blame Cuomo for is that he didn't kiss Trump's ass enough to get more doses sent to New York. The fact of the matter is the amount of doses being sent to New York from the federal government went down. So that's why there are no vaccine appointments, because there's no vaccine. And there's no vaccine because the federal government isn't sending us the vaccine. This will change. This will change. That's why I'm urging people to be patient. But it is frustrating, and I know there are people out there, we gave the links out earlier, there are people out there trying to register. The important thing is don't panic. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep staying as safe as you possibly can. I know more and more people every day that have been vaccinated, and that's great. And there are people that qualify. I was at the dentist yesterday. They said, everybody here has been vaccinated, which is good. I feel good about that. Because they deal with people all the time, teachers, people dealing with lots and lots of people, grocery store workers, of course, the medical profession. So I am happy to see all that being taken care of. I will wait my turn, and I know this is going to get better. The important thing is that we work together. We don't spread false information. We believe in the science. We don't try and cause more panic, and we don't forget. We don't forget what the mistakes of the past year have been. We don't forget the 400,000. In fact, right now, if you're in your car, anywhere in your Hopog, drive by the H. Lee Dennison building. It's lit up blue right now. And that's to honor all those who have died in the coronavirus pandemic as part of a planned nationwide memorial. Our county executive, Steve Ballone, said this pandemic has impacted each and every one of us in one way or another. But everything we have done, from wearing masks to practicing social distancing to limiting gatherings, has been about saving lives. Over the last 10 months, far too many Suffolk County residents have unfortunately lost their battle to COVID-19. Tonight, we will take a moment to remember all those we lost while we look towards a hopeful future and beating this virus once and for all. So if you're on Veterans Highway or near there, you might pass by H. Lee Dennison Building and see it lit up in blue. And here's the kicker. Roughly 2,600 Suffolk County residents have died of COVID-19 as of today. Not a number that I wanted to see. Also, Long Island's 7-day COVID-19 positivity rate is the highest in New York. That's not good. That's not good at all. 7.84%, 7-day positivity average, sit ahead of every other region. And that's including New York City, which was only 5.73%. Governor Cuomo said that's problematic, and that's new, by the way. Long Island has taken a relative jump, which is concerning, and we're watching that because Long Island jumped up and not in the right direction. We have to do better. We're you know, I see a lot of people not observing the guidelines. I know we're all tired of this. We want it to go away, but it doesn't go away just by us wishing it away. You know, we've done this long enough. Yeah, and, you know, we're damn lucky there's a vaccine, that there's multiple vaccines. I mean, imagine if there weren't. What would we be looking at then? There's new variants, and some of these new variants are kind of scary because they're more contagious. And what that means is it takes less of the virus and less time in the same room with an infected person for you to catch it. And people infected with these variants might also be shedding larger quantities of it, which increases the risk to people around them. But it's not a different virus. It's the same virus, which means that the vaccine is going to work. But the important thing to remember is doubling down on the safety habits that you have hopefully gotten used to by now. You should be wearing a high-quality mask when you run errands, go shopping, or when you're in a situation you find yourself spending time indoors with people who don't live with you. And that's, you don't need an N95 mask. You don't need the ones that the hospital workers have. And first of all, they're almost impossible to get. There's one called the KF94. It's made in South Korea. It can be purchased really easily. It's like an N95 with a few differences, made of a similar non-woven material, blocks 94% of the hardest-to-trap viral particles, has ear loops instead of elastic headbands, so it doesn't fit as snugly as an N95. It's disposable. You can buy a pack of 20 for about $40 on Amazon. It can't be laundered. Won't last as long as a cloth mask, but maybe you can save those for higher-risk situations like riding the subway or going to a store, going to a doctor's appointment, although it's getting less risky to go to a doctor because they're getting vaccinated.
Did you say $40?
For a pack of 20, yes.
Wow.
Is that a lot or is that a little?
It's a lot.
Yeah, it is a lot. I know. But here's the thing. If you look at your activities, and these are tips that are coming from the New York Times, you can try reducing the time and number of exposures to other people. Like if you go to the store now two or three times a week, go to the store once a week. If you've been spending 30 to 45 minutes in the grocery store, cut that time down to 15 or 20 minutes. I think we're good at that. We go in there, we run through the place.
I always tie my sneakers up like really, really extra tight, like so I can pivot and like make all the right like maneuvers.
Yeah, yeah. And that's good. When we walk in the door, you're gone.
Yeah.
We each have our assignments and we meet at the checkout.
Yeah, it's funny. Sometimes I forget I even started the stopwatch.
Uh-huh. Well, the whistles help, you know, because when I blow the whistle, that means I'm at the checkout. I don't know why it annoys other people so much. It's not for them. Anyway, if the store is crowded, come back later. And we've done that. We've done that many times. Looked at a place. We get food at various establishments. We never stay in. We always take it out. But we look in the window, and if people aren't being safe, we go somewhere else. So, we're watching food establishments.
And we're judging.
We're judging, and we remember.
For ourselves.
If you're waiting in line anywhere, make sure you stay at least 6 feet apart from the people ahead of you and behind you. And whenever possible, either delivery or curbside pickup. Curbside pickup is great. When you call in an order for something, say you're getting a pizza someplace, say, do you have curbside delivery? Usually they do. And say, okay, here's my credit card number, and I'll call you when I'm outside. And what they do is they come to you and they plop it in your car. You can open the back window and they'll put it back there. They understand how to do this, and it's really good. And it's virtually risk-free when you do it that way. I know it's a pain, but it's a lot less of a pain than getting this horrible disease. And I know most people survive the disease just fine. But you don't have any guarantee that that's going to be you.
A lot of it has been due to adapting, and the establishments themselves have gone a long way to accommodate. So take them up on those contactless options.
Yeah, yeah. As far as hanging out with people that you don't live with, try skipping those events for now. For now, until you all get vaccinated. The worst thing is to get sick at this late stage when we're maybe a month or so away from getting vaccinated. It's a sacrifice, but it is a worthwhile sacrifice. And just remember, we're in this together. I always feel that sense of pride when I see people observing. It doesn't matter what you believe in, who you support, or where you're from, or any of that. If I see you taking that effort, I know that you care. and that we're looking out for each other. And that's all that matters. So for these next few weeks, let's really double down. Get those numbers going in the right direction. And we'll have much happier times ahead. One of those happier times, though, will not be the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Miller Place in Rocky Point. That has been canceled for the second year in a row because of COVID-19. Maybe that is one of the last events that gets canceled. I don't know. March, mid-March. Maybe it'll go on for a bit longer. But it's sad to hear that. I guess we'll figure out how to do a virtual St. Patrick's Day parade.
Well, you could always cook up a nice St. Patrick's Day meal yourself.
That's true.
I remember shopping when the pandemic was really kicking up, right around when it was actually first called a pandemic.
Yes.
Do you remember all those briskets? It was after the holiday, but there was all of this leftover stuff.
Everybody was getting toilet paper. We got brisket.
Yeah, because it was in abundance, and I think we got some little potatoes, and it was a good holiday.
Yeah, there were different modes of shopping in the early stages. Remember that one time where there was only one other person in the entire store, and we were keeping an eye on each other? I liked that. That was kind of interesting. But it's gotten a lot more lax since then.
Do you remember when they did not do the self-checkout? Like, you couldn't touch them.
Yeah.
You remember it was like old school. You had to go and have a cashier do it.
Uh-huh.
Because then you wouldn't be touching something. I don't know, the belt or something. I don't know what the freak out was. But nobody really knew exactly what to do. But it was vital.
I still am a little worried about that, about touching keypads. But what I do is I always wear a disposable glove. And you can get these pretty easily as well. Some of them are latex. Some of them aren't latex.
Doesn't have to be disposable.
I don't really care. It doesn't have to be disposable. But if it's not disposable, you need to wash it.
Regularly.
Yeah. But what I do is, you know, I wear those whenever I go out of the house. I don't touch my face. And you don't want to touch your face when you're wearing something like that anyway. So it's kind of a good habit. And then once you get back home, you take those gloves off, wash your hands anyway, and then wipe off everything that you bought. I know there's not much evidence that COVID-19 is spread on packages, but you feel good being extra safe. And it takes 5 minutes. Get like a disposable towel and just wipe off everything. Wash your hands again just to complete the whole thing. You're done. And you know you haven't expose yourself. There's very, very low risk. And that's our day. that's how it's been.
It's still a good idea because you're bringing surfaces into your residence, I guess. So
yeah.
Yes, something we have been living by. Everyone doing the same little measures to get by. And being healthier for it. I think there's been some overall better hygiene as a result of all this. That's for darn sure.
What's the deal with these pardons? I heard that Trump is going to pardon all these people today. He hasn't done it yet.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
When is he
going
to pardon them?
No, it's crazy. And isn't the Senate supposed to vote on, or are they opening the hearing, or weren't they supposed to do some kind of, wasn't there a schedule for coming back into session, like
to do what? What are
the
they
19th?
Doing?
I don't know. That was like the. they changed the schedule.
Are they confirming cabinet members? Are they doing their job?
There was a lot of that today. A lot of virtual cabinet official hearings. Saw that, but and of course this COVID-19 memorial, and they're trying to get a lot of ceremony around this transition, but. I don't know. I think there's a little too much anxiety to...
Well, yeah, there is, because 25,000 troops in the streets of Washington, D.C., I mean, this is the kind of thing you see in other regimes overseas, that we say this could never happen here. Well, guess what? It happened here. It's happening right now, and thanks to Trump, we now have military taking over our streets and people living in fear. I don't want it to stay this way, but obviously you have to take these threats seriously. There have been many, many threats. There is all kinds of chatter, which I've really never thought of chatter as taking place domestically. But, yeah, that's what's happening now. And all 50 states are dealing with this right now, and Washington, D.C.
Yeah, you got to think about I've been trying to remember or just keep in mind that there's a neighborhood around D.C. You know, people are – that's their home, and there's many other communities in state capitals around the country that there plenty of people just living their lives, you know, in the area. And to have this kind of strict security measures, it's hardly a, I don't know, as celebratory a mood as you'd want. But I think that there's a sense of duty and seriousness for the occasion that's befallen. It
shouldn't be celebratory because of the 400,000.
No.
But because of what Trump did, we can't even have any kind of real ceremony because of the threat. So it kind of works out in that way. It's a very somber setting, and it's not going to be crowds of people, which is, I think, a good thing in this situation.
Yeah, it's more somber tradition than celebrating tradition.
Yeah. So I don't know. I thought we'd be talking about the pardons. But you know, I'm a little confused about this. I did some research, and I've learned some surprising things. Because I was wondering, how can Trump pardon people who haven't been charged with a crime? He can do that. I don't know what our founding fathers were smoking when they made these rules. But he can, obviously they didn't know about Trump, but the president can basically pardon somebody for a crime that's been committed before the person has been charged with it. And maybe they'll never be charged with it. Maybe they've never even done the crime, but he can go out there and say, Rudy Giuliani, you are hereby absolved of murder. I guess Rudy Giuliani could have killed somebody in the past, and now he's okay. He doesn't have to worry about that. You can't pardon people for future crimes. That much, at least they didn't do that. So it's not a free card to commit crimes. But if you committed a crime in the past, even if you haven't been charged with it, Trump can pardon you for it. And he can pardon his family members and his associates.
But it raises a lot more questions, right? It implicates you.
It doesn't make you look good, but when has he ever cared about that?
Suppose the people that are implicated, though, perhaps don't want the attention.
Yeah, I guess, you know, if Trump said your name and said you're absolved of a crime you weren't charged with, it would make you look kind of bad.
Well,
that would be an interesting thing to do.
Well, and let's assume he's doing it out of his own self-interest.
Mm-hmm. When has he done anything that's not in his own self-interest?
Right. So he'll do it only because it's going to save his skin, because you then are not on the stand pointing him out.
Yeah, I'm looking at his statement that he made today. He made a farewell statement. He can't tweet, so he's got to make these statements through the White House. Imagine that. I want to read you one short paragraph. This week, we inaugurate a new administration and pray for its success in keeping America safe and prosperous. We extend our best wishes, and we also want them to have luck, a very important word. Okay, first of all, it's not about luck. It's about experience, something you had none of, something Biden has a lot of, and it's also about skill. And the same sentence applies there as well. He does not say Biden's name. Does not say president like Biden. You know, sorry, Representative Lee Zeldin won't say that either. It's horrible. It's horrible. There are so many people out there that refuse to accept this election to this day. And just because Trump is leaving does not mean he accepts the results of the election. He has never said the words, this was a free and fair election, despite all of the evidence proving that it was. And you need for departing leaders to be able to say that. If they don't say that, it's a wink and a nod to those people that will do the kinds of things that happened on January 6th. They know that he still has their back, that he still wants them to do these things. It's disgusting. It really is disgusting. And I guess you learn something about how people carry themselves. You know, by the way they deal with a situation like this, there were a bunch of Republicans who stood up to him, who said, this is enough. Can't back this. It's wrong. And despite all the crap that we've been going through over the past 4 years or even longer, I respect those people for doing that much at least. So many people didn't do that. And that's just sad. That's just incredibly sad. Tomorrow this will be over. At least this stage of it will be over, and we'll be in a new phase, and I just hope the mood changes. I hope that we're a different country at that stage. I've got time for a couple of stories other than this.
I'm listening, yeah.
This kind of got me mad, if I don't seem mad enough already. Right here in Long Island, Smithtown. This happened last week. Smithtown Central School District. If you're listening, yeah, you might want to listen closer. The superintendent of the Smithtown Central School District has apologized to parents, get this, for inviting an actress who has made social media posts supporting Black Lives Matter. And, as if that weren't enough, criticizing police to the district's first family literacy night. Criticizing police? Have you ever? The event, first of all, it was conducted remotely, and it was conducted on January 6th, hours after the mob attacked the U.S. Capitol. It focused on children's books, culminated in a session with the Broadway actress Diamond Essence White, who talked about the importance of literacy and read from the children's book Not Quite Snow White. Now, nothing White said touched on current events. According to one parent, it was a really nice interview. I feel like it was very appropriate. School administrators, nevertheless, because Suffolk County is an extremely racist county, don't forget that, and again, the most populated county that went for Trump this past election in the country, those school administrators received what Superintendent Mark Sicar called numerous complaints from parents based on White's Twitter and Facebook posts. It had nothing to do with what happened in Smithtown. It was basically exercising her freedom of speech, including one from a woman whose email was read aloud. This is the complaint. This complaint was read aloud at a January 12th Board of Education meeting. In a world so divided, why was such a politically charged person selected to be star speaker? Our school should be a politically neutral place for our children. The unidentified woman, because the school district won't identify her, wrote that White's Twitter feed had multiple posts about white supremacy, BLM, as well as ACAB. You know what ACAB is?
Yes.
Say it. You can say it.
All cops are bastards.
Yes. Now, I think we all know all cops aren't bastards. Because, first of all, not all cops are male. But, second of all, there are nice cops, and I think everybody knows that. But in the heat of the moment, you say things like that. She didn't say this in front of a bunch of kids. She didn't say this in Smithtown. She said what many, many people say. When you get angry, you say things. And you certainly have the right to say things the way this society is. Newsday wouldn't even say what that stood for. ACAB is an acronym that contains a slur about police officers. Really? You can't say all cops are bastards? I don't believe all cops are bastards, but I can certainly say it. BLM, they said that one. That means Black Lives Matter. Anyway, the school superintendent answered that family literacy night should not turn into a polarizing event. It didn't turn into a polarizing event. It only turned into a polarizing event because you decided to open up the doors to all these racist people out there who had a problem with somebody who had an opinion being allowed to speak to kids. An opinion that she basically expresses in a different form. Are we not allowed to do that anymore? Wasn't preaching hatred, wasn't storming capitals, wasn't vandalizing or causing any kind of violent behavior. was simply saying that black lives matter, and that cops shouldn't be killing black people. I know that's controversial here in Suffolk County, but she didn't bring it up in Smithtown. It was on her Twitter feed. Maybe stay away from her Twitter feed if it bothers you so much. However, the school superintendent said the district should have done a better job vetting this person and her social media history prior to her participation. And conservatives complain about cancel culture? Look at this. How is this not cancel culture? If you criticize the police on your Twitter feed, you're barred from talking to kids at an event. That has nothing to do with any of that. Smithtown, hang your head in shame. I'm sorry. That really annoys me. I guess I'll never be speaking to Smithtown because I just said all cops are bastards, what, three times now.
Could save their lives, too, just having a sort of a critical understanding of the negative sides of policing in America.
But she wasn't talking to them about that. The kids weren't reading her Twitter feed. Maybe they were, but if they were, it's because they were interested in these things in the first place.
So wait, you can't talk about something else if your social media feed is screened for a completely different subject?
I don't know what they're screening for.
They're regretting their own process.
Yeah, it's bizarre. It really is bizarre, and it's a shame.
What kind of self-hate is that? And you're like an educational?
No, it's fear. It's fear of the same mob mentality that we've been seeing, you know, so many times over the past couple of weeks and past few years, in fact. All right, so that's that. Here's a more positive story.
Grow up, people.
Yeah, really. Seriously, there's differences of opinion. It's like when the drag queens came to the Port Jefferson Library and all these people were upset that the kids were being exposed to this. You know, they're reading stories. They're not doing any harm to your kids at all, and the kids love it. Just stay away. Stay outside. I'm talking to the parents. Could use a lot more drag queens in our libraries, I think. Anyway, yeah, so now NASA is...
The space agency or the county?
That would be NASA.
Oh,
yeah.
You know what? When you say it like that...
Which is also in the Caribbean.
You know, I see what I did.
But NASA has their Perseverance rover. You know, I'm sorry, but I'm always going to have a problem with that name. Only because that stupid kid got all this credit for naming it Perseverance as if he invented the word. I saw all these celebrations of his genius coming up with the name. I'm sure there were other kids who came up with Perseverance. What about them?
It's not going to be a kid forever.
What about me? I suggest things all the time. And here's something that I've been suggesting for years that NASA finally is doing. But do I get any credit for it? No. No, not at all. Just overlooked yet again.
What was your name?
Not a name. I couldn't care less what you call these things.
Oh, okay.
Basically, all I wanted them to do, and you should probably remember this, on these rovers, was add a microphone, for God's sake. Do you remember me bitching about this?
They did.
Yeah, now they finally did.
Yeah.
Years later. So, according to this news story, when it lands, we'll be able to hear the sounds of Mars for the first time, thanks to microphones riding on the rover. You know, if you'd listened to me, this wouldn't be the first time. You would have done it 10 years ago. And you know, there could be an alien standing behind the thing saying, hey, I'm an alien. You would never know because you don't have a microphone. Is it expensive to put a microphone on a rover? It can't be more expensive than putting a camera on a rover. Come on already. So now we are expecting this. We're expecting to hear for the first time what Mars sounds like. The thin Martian atmosphere has only 1% of the density that we experience in Earth's atmosphere. Has different atmospheric composition. Mars is much colder than Earth. And all those factors affect sound on Mars. The differences might be subtle. But if you were speaking on Mars, your voice would sound more muffled, and it would take longer for others to hear you. So what will we be able to hear on Mars? The microphones are expected to pick up the sounds of the rover landing and working on Mars, as well as ambient noises like wind. None of this sounds very exciting. One of the microphones is located on top of the rover's mast, so it can pick up natural sounds and even activity by the rover, like when the rover's laser zaps rock samples and turns them into plasma to learn more about their composition. Okay, but you know, NASA, you should have called me before you did this, because I would have suggested something that would have been a lot better, okay? Yeah, you're going to hear the rover itself. You're going to hear the sound of crunching rock, and you're going to hear wind. Big whoop, all right? No one's going to be thrilled by that, and they're just going to say, let's not ever put a microphone on one of these things again. What you should have done was put a megaphone on top of the rover and broadcast somebody talking, and then see what that sounds like on Mars. Huh? That's a good idea. But no, the kid who names it Perseverance, he gets all the credit.
But you said 10 years ago to put a microphone. You didn't say put a megaphone on it.
Because nobody took me serious about the microphone. Why am I going to continue talking about it if no one's listening?
Maybe you need a microphone.
I get so angry doing this show, I swear to God. Are you sure you haven't seen my Patsy Cline CD? Because that's really annoying. That's the one thing I can't get past today.
You got to tell me, what's it look like?
What do you mean? Everyone knows what the Patsy Cline CD looks like. It's got a picture of Patsy Cline. It's like hand-drawn. It's the Patsy Cline story.
Okay.
It's my favorite CD.
I'll look for it if I see it.
It's all I want. The Bed Bath & Beyond... I'm sorry, I'm switching gears here. The Bed Bath & Beyond guy is complaining about being canceled.
No, no, don't drag them into this.
No, but he's not being canceled. He's a dumbass, and people are reacting to him being a dumbass. He went to Trump. He went to visit Trump. And he had his notes. Why do they all do this? Why doesn't anybody know about cover pages or just, you know, keeping something in an envelope until you need it? He's standing outside the White House, no mask, and you see his talking points, including martial law and other bad things. I don't have it in front of me. And this guy, you know, he should be selling pillows. That's what you do. You sell pillows, for God's sake.
He's a former crackhead.
If you really cared, why didn't you give pillows to all those National Guard people sleeping on the floor of the Capitol? That would have been nice. A golden opportunity for you there. I couldn't even see that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is actually a good idea.
See, I have good ideas. No one listens to them. Bed Bath & Beyond, though, finally...
Oh, it's my pillow.
Bed Bath & Beyond finally has stopped selling those My Pillows. Yeah.
No
so
way.
You can't get them there anymore. And
wow.
You shouldn't be able to get them anywhere because he's a dumbass. Dumbasses shouldn't be making pillows. God knows what they'll do. That's not canceling. That's public reacting to people who are bad. Bad people.
I can tell you where to get a good pillow. I'll wait till after the show.
Okay. All right.
Are we going to do this? Or?
I don't think we have time.
Okay, we'll do it.
Yeah, because we only have like maybe... Actually, you know what? We could probably do it. Yeah, let's do it. Hold on a second. I gotta get everybody together.
Sure.
We're ready for
we
it.
We could schedule the cleaning and just... Skip it if you want.
No, you might as well because it's not going to go away. All right, and in keeping with our tradition here at Off the Wall, it is, we have a sustaining feature that we didn't do last week because when there's insurrection in the country, we don't have time to talk about the more lighthearted things. But now we do, and this is incredibly complex. It's time... for us to turn on the damn projector and go to Films of the Year That Was, where we see an Academy Award-winning film once a week, or actually as much as we can, year by year. And we're up to 1990. We didn't see the foreign film. We only saw the domestic film. And the domestic film was?
The American epic Western film, Dances with Wolves.
I didn't really think of it as a Western, but I guess it was. There were a lot of horses and galloping and shooting, so...
Fun fact, it actually brought about a bit of a revival to Western films.
Wow.
At the time.
Interesting. Okay. But I do know that the last Western that won the Academy Award was one that we saw called, like, Cinnabon or something. Or it had a name like that.
Simeon.
Yeah, that was it. And that was like from the 1930s or something?
Yeah, it had been a while. The Western sort of...
petered out.
They didn't get as much of the billing that some of the other features were getting. Namely, I guess, a lot of post-war stuff. But the film we're talking about was produced, directed, and starred Kevin Costner as John J. Dunbar, a wounded veteran who actually... almost died, you know, and then chose going back into battle.
Let me just say before we say any more, if you haven't seen this film, we're going to ruin it for you. If you have seen it, then stay tuned. Or if you don't care if we ruin it for you, stay tuned. But we're going to give away things, lots of things. So,
okay.
I have to make that disclaimer. People get very angry if you don't do that.
All right. Well, no, they shouldn't listen to this if they don't want us to talk about the film. We're talking about the film now.
Right.
So he rides his horse and basically creates a distraction and is awarded. When in reality he had gone in front of the front line, taunting the Confederates, sort of almost basically a suicide mission.
I don't understand that. There's a beginning of the film. There was a civil war. He's on the Union side. I just rides his horse into the Confederate territory. They don't know what to make of it. They're shooting at him, missing every single time, and somehow doing that. I guess it gets the war started a little bit more. Is that what he was trying to do?
It creates an opportunity, and uh-huh. It was really he wanted to die in battle, not become an amputee and suffer as a veteran.
But it was after we had seen the opening scene where he had like gangrene on his foot and was about to be cut off.
Yeah, he like bites the bullet, so to speak.
What happened to that? He just got on his horse and started riding, and it was all better.
Well, he was in great pain, and then a general. Who, I guess, accommodates him and rewards him for his sort of heroism, even though, again, he's sort of giving up the ghost by putting himself in such peril. But then the Union's able to attack and overwhelm the Confederacy. But this allows him to choose his next post, and it ends up being Fort Hays.
He didn't choose it. That crazy commander gave it to him.
Well, he's able to... Yeah.
And that crazy, I couldn't figure out the crazy, the beginning of the film I had trouble with. The crazy commander is just this guy that is all belligerent and isn't making much sense. And then as he leaves to go his nonsense command post, the guy blows his own head off. And I don't know why he did that. It makes no sense.
Yes, he's unhinged and basically been out at the outpost perhaps too long. Seemed like he was drinking and just really lost his druthers there. And maybe was suffering, some kind of health issue as well as the sort of instabilities or trauma that come from battle. So ultimately he ends up at this post that is dilapidated, has been run down, there's nobody there,
he's just supposed to stay at the post and watch? I guess that's what you do at a post.
Yeah, and basically, and his chaperone, the person that moves him out there, Tibbins, is killed on the way back, as well as the guy who you indicated that gave him the assignment. That basically isolates him, because both of them are unable to give word to the army to come meet him. So years ensue, and he ends up meeting... being sort of taunted and harassed a little bit by the tribe nearby, the Lakota and the Sioux, who he eventually tries to meet and become a diplomat, saving a woman who herself was captured by them and brought up.
I didn't understand. He saw this woman, who actually was a white woman, that was her family was massacred, I think, by the Pawnee Indians, who are supposed to be the bad ones in this film.
They're kind of set up as
and
rivals.
The Sioux are the good ones. It's kind of a stereotypical, but he just comes upon this woman who's bleeding. Why was she bleeding? I didn't understand. It looked like she was trying to hurt herself.
Cutting her arms.
Why was she cutting her arms?
Because she's mourning her husband who was...
That's how you mourn? All right.
It was something like that, yeah. And so in any event, he brings her back, and she's the holy man of the tribe is sort of... gracious in him bringing her, and that begins this relationship, and he assimilates to a degree, and it goes on from there, and he ultimately, she becomes a love interest to a degree, and ultimately, down the road in the film, he's found, quote-unquote, as he goes back, because he spends days out with the tribe.
Well, let's not forget one of the most important things. There's this wolf that keeps coming by and watching him at his place, at the post.
That's right. Yeah.
And he basically develops this relationship with the wolf, which is really cool. And the whole nature thing, I think, is really good. And the best part of the film, to me, is finding out that the native people see him basically having this kind of weird dance with the wolf, where they're sort of playing... and he gets the name Dances with Wolves. So the film isn't really about Dancing with Wolves. It's his name. It's,
yeah.
It's kind of like a biography of this guy, which I thought was really an amazing thing. Did not see that coming. I didn't know anything about the film going into it. But yeah, you know, it's a great story. It makes me feel angry because the white people are just, they mess everything up. They really do. And it's just, you knew it was coming. You knew it was going to happen. And I guess, you know, I'm not sure how accurate it was, how exaggerated it was.
Well, there's a lot of backward stuff, like the Sioux and the Pawnee. Apparently the Pawnee were more the victim because the Sioux were the dominant tribe in reality. So the way it's set up in this, it does the Pawnee are an aggressor. It seems is a bit off. There's also criticism over the sort of like white hero complex and the language. The dialect isn't spoken properly, according to some critics. There's a lot to be said, but it also really shows the importance of humanity and seeing sort of solidarity in our differences.
We turn off the projector, so that's all we have time for. Well, you knew that was going to happen. We tried to cram that in. Thank God we didn't see the foreign film. That's coming up. Hey, it's our last moment with Trump as president. This time tomorrow, that will not be the case. It's been one hell of a ride. It has been insane. And I just hope that we're moving to something better. We're moving to something more positive.
Yeah, a lot of what we feared, a lot of what we foretold was sadly something we saw and we bore witness to. And I really am hopeful that so much that we aspire to is possible with this change.
All right, Kyle. We will be back next week with a new theme and hopefully a new outlook on life. Have a good night.
Great conversation. I'm glad we got to talk.
Yes, and I'm glad that we made it this far. This has been a harrowing experience, but it's over. It's about to be over. We're about to all get through it. But I would be remiss if I didn't take a moment just to acknowledge all the terrible, terrible people that Trump has brought into our living rooms over the past 4 years. People like William Barr, Mike Pompeo, Rudy Giuliani, Scott Pruitt, Betsy DeVos, Stephen Miller, Steve Bannon, Michael Flynn, Mike Mulvaney, Kellyanne Conway, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Wilbur Ross, Stephanie Grisham, Steve Mnuchin.
Since you've been gone, I feel so much better, 'cause I saw how mean you could be. I used to want some explanation. Now all so next time someone makes you feel little, just sing a song inside your head. And like a great big cartoon bubble, lovely words will dance above their head. How I've waited for today, when I could finally say, you jerk, you are such a jerk. There are other words, but they just
hey kids, it's Finn with you, Finn's Revolution, if I can speak, this Tuesday evening. We are very happy to be rid of that jerk 45 beginning tomorrow. That's my opinion, and hopefully yours. And we're going to pay a tribute to another real jerk who just died yesterday. That's Mr. Spector. Stay tuned. Because you can be a jerk and still make great music.